Good evening, Rabbi Sai. I just did not want to allow one more week to go by without us having our Hilchos Shabbos shir. So despite the fact that so many of us are away, and we can't physically be together, at least what ties us together as a group, which is our learning that we do together, can keep going. Even if we are not actually physically in the same room, we can virtually be together through our limud. So a very quick recap of what we discussed last time we were together. Last time we introduced two very important points with regard to Amir L'Akam. Number one, we mentioned numerous sources which help us understand what the Isser of Amir L'Akam is. Ultimately, the way it sits best with us and the way many Paiskim take it, the Rambam writes it very clearly, Rav Moshe seems to allude to this in the Tshuva that we mentioned last time, is that it was very important to Chazal that we are going to maintain the decorum and the atmosphere which is needed on Shabbos. And if we're going to allow this loophole to exist, where a person can simply have a non-Jew stand by his side and have all his malacha that he otherwise wouldn't have been able to do, have all that malacha done on the hands of a non-Jew, he would really destroy his Shabbos. And his Shabbos, the whole avirah, the whole atmosphere of the Shabbos is going to be destroyed. And therefore, Chazal instituted this iser of asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. To reinforce this iser, Chazal instituted another iser, which is to benefit from any malacha which is done by the hands of a non-Jew for a Jew. So even if it's unsolicited, if it's clear that a non-Jew did something specifically to benefit the Jew is not allowed to benefit from the malacha. And that's really where we left off after last week's shir. And it was interesting, after the shir, somebody came to ask me, and he said, what's going on over here? How could it be that there's an iser to even benefit from the malacha, which is done by a non-Jew? We know so many cases where non-Jews do malacha for Jews on Shabbos, and it's mutter, we all benefit from it. It happens in shul all the time. And there's so many cases, we're so accustomed to, you know, remiza, having all kinds of backwards way of hinting to the non-Jew, and how could it be that it's usser? So, what I would like to do this week is address the point of Amira. And what we have to do, and this is very important for us to understand when it comes to Amira L'Akam, is we have to always answer these two questions. Number one, is it mutter to ask the non-Jew? Number two, even if it was mutter to ask him, or even if it was mutter to get him to do the malacha, can I benefit from the malacha? And we're going to have to really go through the intricacies of these halachas very clearly to be able to answer that question. But what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to advance a couple heterim to explicitly go to a non-Jew and ask him very clearly, can you please do the following malacha for me on Shabbos? And it would stand to reason, as Tosis explained to us, the reason why it's usher for someone to benefit from a malacha which is performed by a non-Jew is because we don't want him to ask we don't want him to appreciate that and then come to ask him the following week. What we have to understand is that if it's a case where it's mutter to ask the non-Jew, then there's no reason for such a takana. There's no reason why we would say it's forbidden to benefit from that malacha that the non-Jew did for us, lest you ask him the following week, because ultimately, it's mutter to ask him the following week. As much as it's mutter to ask him this week, it's mutter to ask him next week. So this is a very important principle that we have to understand, is that the iser to benefit from the malacha is linked on, it's really very much connected to the iser to ask. Any case where it's going to be mutter to ask the non-Jew to do the malacha for us, it stands to reason, and not only stands to reason, it's actually true that you're allowed to benefit from the malacha which is done by the non-Jew. But we are going to find numerous cases where it's mutter to get a non-Jew to do the malacha, i.e., you can do all kinds of tricks to get him to understand that you need this malacha done. And in such a case, the reason why you're doing all those tricks is because you're not allowed to ask him. In such a case, there would be an iser to benefit from that malacha. We're going to spend some time, Mirza Hashem, next week, going through the intricacies of the halachas of when it is forbidden to benefit from the malacha, we're going to see that there are numerous cases where even though it's aser to ask the non-Jew to do the malacha, even if he does the malacha for you, or if he does the malacha, you still can benefit from it, and we're going to get to those cases next week. This week I'm going to focus on cases when it's mutter to go ask the non-Jew, please can you do this malacha for me. The first case that we're going to mention is a case of the needs which are the needs of somebody who is ill, a chayla, someone who's not well. Now, I have the responsibility to mention, every time we talk about the halachas of a chayla on Shabbos, is that if we're ever discussing a case of a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, a case where there's pikuach nefesh, there is absolutely a chiyuv to violate the Shabbos to save this person's life. The Yerushalmi writes very clearly that if someone even asks a shayla about pikuach nefesh, or someone is asked, if someone is a rav, and he's asked a shayla by a member of his kehila, is it mutter for me to violate Shabbos for pikuach nefesh? Then it says that both of them are meguna. It's a disgrace that the question was even asked. And therefore, I don't want to be a disgrace. I mean, the explanation which is given for this is that if a rav teaches Hilchas Shabbos, and he doesn't teach them that it's mutter, or it's actually a chiv to violate Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, to the point where people have to ask about it, it means he's not doing his job correctly. So since I am discussing halachas of Shabbos now, and I'm mentioning the word chayla, I must add that we are not discussing a chayla sheish by sakana, or a case where there's pikuach nefesh. Because if there's pikuach nefesh, forget about the non-Jew, forget about the halachas of Shabbos. You must do, you have to do, to save this person's life. What we're talking about is somebody who is a chayla she'ein bo sakana, nevertheless, he's ill. And we're in Mirtz Hashem, at some point in time, we're going to learn the simanim of Shin Chav Ches, Shin Chav Tes, and we're going to discuss the halachas of Refuah and Shabbos at some point in time. But right now, we're discussing the halachas of Amir La'akam. Gemara, in Beis Adav Chav Beis Amar Aleph. The Gemara is actually in the middle of a discussion over here with Amemar. He was talking about having a procedure done to the eyes on Shabbos, and he was questioned. Rav Ashi questioned Amemar, and he asked him, what is your source for allowing a non-Jew to perform this procedure on his eyes on Shabbos? And he suggested, he said, is your reason the Amar Ula Breder of Eli called Tzarche Chayla Oysenai Deinachri B'Shabbos? And he went on to explain why that would be different. But ultimately, what we do see here is that Ula Breder of Eli paskind that all the needs of a Chayla are allowed to be done through a non-Jew on Shabbos. So that's a very clear source in the Gemara. Now, in Simen, Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin, again, this is a very long Simen, but ultimately, it says over there as follows, Chala Shenafal Machmas Chalav L'Mishkav Ve'en Bo Sakana. A Chala, someone who's not well, and he's sick to the point where he needs to take a nap, he needs to go to sleep, he can't function. Now, the Ramah adds in over here that this is really metaphorical. It doesn't mean he actually went to sleep. He writes, "Oh, sheyesh lo mecha shemitztayar," he has a pain which is bothering him, v'chalim yimenakal gufa, and it's causing him not to be functional. Sha'az afa pi shahol kenaf alamishkav dami. Even if he's actually walking, in other words, going to sleep is only a simen. It's not a sibah. You don't have to actually be sleeping. The point is that a person is sick to the point where he's not functioning properly. The halacha is, Omrim le'ena Yehudi lasas lo refuah, avol ein mechalal in alav as a Shabbos b'sedaraisa. So a person cannot violate Shabbos with an issur midaraisa. He can't drive. He can't start cooking for this person on Shabbos. But he can ask a non-Jew to do malacha for him on Shabbos. So this is explicit, this is clear in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Chav Ches, that when a person is ill, what type of illness are we talking about? He's ill to the point where he does not face a sakana, his life is not in danger, but he is at a point where he is not functioning properly. The halacha is, if he needs something to address his illness, he's allowed to ask a non-Jew to do the malacha for him on Shabbos. So that's one clear, explicit heter. If we're dealing with someone who's not well, you're allowed to have a non-Jew do malacha for him on Shabbos. An offshoot of this comes up in a Mordechai in Maseches Shabbos. It's actually in the Hagayos Mordechai. It's in the first perek of Maseches Shabbos. It's in Tuf Nun Beis in the Mordechai. And he writes as follows. It's very interesting. This is source 3 on our source sheet. He writes, Vizu Teshuvas Rabbeinu Yom Tov Zal. And he writes, Min Urai from my youth, Hayisi Mishtomim Ala Osrim Leschamim Kneged Meduras Nachri Hanasa Beshvil Yisrael. It always bothered me that there were people who said it was Osir for a Jew to get warmth from a fire which was kindled by a non-Jew for a Jew on Shabbos. And he writes, Kiriisi Abba Mayri, I've seen my father, V'rabbeinu Meshulam Zal, Shahayu Purushim, Shahayu Meschamimin, V'chein Gedoli Olam, many, many Gedolim always would sit by that fire and get heat. And he explains, what's the reason for this? V'tayma, Nirali Kedamirin Ba'alma, HaKol Cholam Eitzel Hamila, V'chein HaKol Cholam Eitzel Kar, V'im'ein Mamesh Cholam Mitztarin Hein L'chol HaPachas. So the Mordechai advances something very interesting. What we've been talking about up until now is a chola, someone who's ill, someone who is experiencing some type of illness, whatever the illness might be. Say he has a virus, he has strep, he has the flu, whatever it is, he has an illness which is bothering him. And he is not functional because of it. In those cases, you can ask a non-Jew to do a malacha to help this person feel better. Now, here the Mordechai, he writes something very interesting. He says, the term chola doesn't necessarily, with regard to Amir La'akum, doesn't necessarily mean he has to be ill. He says there are certain circumstances which we will compare to an illness. And what are some of those circumstances? The one he describes is somebody who is very cold. If it's the winter time and a person doesn't have heat, now he doesn't have to be sick yet. But everybody is considered a chola when it comes to the cold. So if people are cold, the halacha is you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to turn the heat on. So this is a very relevant issue because it happens all the time. For some reason or another, the heat is off and people are cold. And the Mordechai is explaining to us that it's mutter because of the halacha of Amir La'akum being mutter for a chola, it is mutter to ask a non-Jew to come turn the heat on for a Jew on Shabbat. Mordechai continues and he explains that not only is it mutter for a person to benefit from the fire which a non-Jew lights for a Jew on Shabbos to keep him warm, you're allowed to actually ask him beferish, you're allowed to clearly go ahead and ask him. And he goes on very, very poetic about this, and he's very confident in his psak. Indeed, in Siman Reish Hayim Vav Sif Hei, the Mechaber writes as follows: this is source number 4. Ba'artzos karos, in the cold places, mutar le'inu Yehudi la'asos medura b'shvil ha'katanim, u'mutarim ha'gdelim l'schamim boi, v'afilu b'shvil ha'gdelim mutar im akar gadol. So the Shulchan Aruch, he wants us to understand that the fact that you're a bit chilly doesn't turn you into a chola. But, he says, number one, when it comes to children, children have a different playbook entirely. Because yes, children are much more vulnerable, and children can get sick much easier than adults. And therefore, if it's cold, even if it's a little bit cold, and you feel it's necessary to have the heat on, if you have children in the house, then you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to come turn the heat on. The Mechaber continues, he writes, v'afil b'shvil gedolim, even for gedolim, for adults, mutter, it's mutter to ask a non-Jew to come turn the heat on for you if it's really cold. Why? He continues, shakol chayla mitzal hakar, everyone is considered to be a chayla with regard to the cold. And he says, it is not a blanket heter for the winter. It has to actually be cold. And it's interesting, the Mordechai, not specifically in this place, the Mordechai writes in source number 5, this is a side point that whenever it was mutter for a non-Jew to do the malacha, and it's one malacha. We're not discussing a case where he does more. He lights one fire. He lights the fireplace up. Why did he do it? Because there was a chayla here. He did it because there was a child who needed the heat. So then in such a case, even if an adult really could have gotten by without the heat, it's mutter for the adult to benefit from that fire. Now, there's another very interesting point over here. In Siman Reish Ayin Vav and Sif Aleph. I don't want to get into the beginning because we're going to get back to that Mirtz Hashem next week. But look, in source number 6, in the third line, right after the Ramah, he writes, Avalim hidliku litzarchai. If the non-Jew lit a fire for his own need, ay litzara chayli Yisrael, for the Jewish person who is ill, afilu eibay sakana. And the Ramah continues, ay litzarech ketanem duhu kechayla she'eibay sakana. Mutter l'kal Yisrael l'shtamash l'ayrev v'adin l'ayismedu l'tzarechay l'tzarechayla. It's very interesting that the Ramah seems to understand that the needs of a katan across the board, he's not talking about heat in this case, he's talking about a light. The needs of a katan across the board are considered, or they are tantamount to, they are tantamount to a case of a chayla. So in the case that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, he's talking about light. In the case of light, it's interesting, you know, because if you, hopefully you shouldn't ever have blackouts, but we have had in our house blackouts sometimes. You know, I can remember when we lived in a basement in Lakewood, or even at night in Eretz Yisrael, when you have a blackout, we had it actually here in Baltimore as well, when you have a blackout at night, it is really petrifying for children. It's really petrifying, and it's I've seen in numerous places where they write the Bi'itusa for a child to be scared is literally considered to be similar to being a chayla. So the Ramah is really adding that in over here. So that's a second offshoot to the halachas of chayla, that not only is it mutter for a person to do, for a person to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for a chayla she'en by sakana, he's also allowed to ask a non-Jew to turn the heat on, number one, for a child, number two, if it's really cold, even for an adult. And another case that we're learning over here, Mishnah Berurah writes, is for Ketan, and Mishnah Berurah writes, Hainu im tzrichim harbe av avalav hachi loy. If there's ever a reason why you need something done for a child on Shabbos, if it's lights, whatever the case might be, that already gives us a heter to ask the non-Jew to do the malacha, because for a child it is very, we'll consider his needs to be similar to a chayla. So that basically takes care of topic number one. When it comes to a chayla, whatever type of machla we're talking about, whether the person's physically ill, or he's cold, or it's a child, ultimately, when it comes to a chayla shem basakana, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do the malacha for you. You could ask him explicitly, and obviously, since it's mutter to ask him to do the malacha, you're allowed to benefit from the malacha as well. The next subject that we're going to talk about is the tzarech mitzvah. The truth is, it's really a very big topic, and it all starts off from one Gemara. I'm going to read the Gemara now, but we'll go through the various different shittas next week. But this really opens us up to a whole topic of discussion. The Gemara is an Erevin, Daf Samach Zayin Omid Beis. This is source number 8 on the source sheet. The Gemara says as follows, and we have to understand, in the times of the Gemara, it was very important for them to wash a baby before and after his bris. Now, if they didn't have the hot water, it was considered a sakana to give him a bris. And the Gemara says as follows, Hu Yanuka. And I will point out, I mentioned bris, but you're not going to find the words bris anywhere in the Gemara. And that is going to be the source of a very big machlokes between the Rishonim and what this Gemara is talking about. Is this case talking specifically about a bris mila, or is it just talking about a child? The Gemara says as follows, Ahu Yanuka, there was a child, Dishtapich Hamime. His hot water got spilled out. Amar lehu Rabba. Rabba said to them, Naisu lecha mimim gav beisai. Let us bring some water from inside the house. Amar le Abaya. Abaya said to Rabba, V'lo yarvina, we can't carry it. We didn't make an Erev. Amar le nismech hashitif. So we'll rely on Shitif Mavois. We're not learning Erevin right now. But what he was telling them was, so we'll just rely on the fact that there's Shitif Mavois over here. Amar lei halei shatfinin. We didn't do Shitif Mavois either. So now what was his answer? Neimru leila nachri leisi lei. Let us tell a non-Jew to bring it for him. Amar abaya baya la oisvei lamarv lei shafku Rabbi Yosef. I wanted to ask a question to Rabba about this, but Rabbi Yosef did not let me ask the question. Domer Rabbi Yosef, Amar of Kahana, Rabbi Yosef in the name of Kahana says, Ki avinen bei Rav Yehuda vi Amarlan, Rav Yehuda taught us, b'day raisa, when it comes to issues of Isurim b'day raisa, ma'isvinen to yifta v'hada avdinen ma'isa. In other words, if there's a psak which is given, and we're uncomfortable with the psak, it's possible, we're dealing with a possible Isurim b'day raisa over here. So first we ask questions, then we do. However, midrabanan, when we're dealing with an issue midrabanan, and we have a psak from a rav which tells us to do it, avdinan, first we do it, avdinan, ma'isav, ahadam, ma'isvinan, tyufta, we wait for our questions till afterwards. Anyway, the Gemara continues, we'll get back to that very soon. But, if we go down, this Gemara, because Rabbah allowed them to ask a non-Jew to bring the water, this Gemara opens up a whole discussion of what the reason is. Why is it mutter? In the Ran, which is source number 10, he quotes the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, and he says, you know what? The reason why it's mutter is Shematir Namir Lanachri Afil Badavar Shiesh by Malacha Gemura. We're allowed to be Matir Amir Lanachri. You're allowed to be Matir Amir Lanachri, even by an Issimi Deraisa, Gabi Machshire Mila. Why? And explains the Fishu Mefarish. In this case, he goes on to explain that this is specifically talking about a case of Mila. It's a specific heter when it comes to Bris Mila, that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. And in the last line he writes, Aval Mir Lanachri, Afil B'malacha Gemura, asking a non-Jew to do even a real malacha midaraisa. Karina and Shavus, ultimately, it's just an Issur Midrabanan for me to ask him. It's a Shavus Deles Be'maisa. I'm not doing, there's no action. And Kiyun Dele Avi Yisrael Maisa Klal. And therefore, he was Matar him to do Malacha for, he's Matar, I'm sorry, Matar a person to ask a non-Jew to do a Malacha Midaraisa for the sake of Mila. That's the way he understands it. Now, in the next line, he writes, it comes out, Nimtza Piskan Shal Dvarim Lefishita Zu, Shematir and Amir Lanachar Filib Malacha Gemura. Why, where? We're allowed to be matter a person to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha, even by Malacha Midaraisi, even real Malacha, for what? Machshir Mila. He says, how about comparing it to other needs, for other mitzvahs? He says, that is subject to a machlokes between the Rambam and, he doesn't quote the Ramban here, we'll get to the Ramban soon. But here, at the end of this line, he quotes a very, very interesting source. He writes over there, if you'd seen in the last line, V'nira shezeu das harav bala iter, shehiter loymar lenachru lehadlik loyas aner lesudas shabbos. You're allowed, according to the bala iter, this is going to be the most lenient opinion, that any time the reason why I need the malacha to be done is for any mitzvah, I need a light on for my Shabbos Suda. It's for a mitzvah of my Suda Shabbos. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha mid'iraisa. That is a very, very, very lenient opinion. And when we get to Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see how it's dealt with the Paiskim. But ultimately, it's very important to keep this opinion in mind. We have, number one, the opinion of the Baal Halachas Gedolos that when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha midaraisa. The next opinion is the opinion of the Baal Iter, that when it comes to any mitzvah, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do even a malacha midaraisa. But he continues, the Ran continues, Aval das harav alfasi einai kein, the Rif disagrees. He writes, Shu saver delay shari amir lanakru makshiri mila, ela bedavar shafilei de Yisrael einai ela bisham shvas. The Rif explains that this whole Gemara was not talking about asking a guy to do a malacha midai raisa. We were asking him to do a malacha midai rabbana. And you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha midai rabbanan for what? For the sake of Mila. And he continues, he writes that it would be relevant. Again, this is the third paragraph in source number 10. Aval das harav alfasizal einai kenshu sevid l'shara mila l'nachib machshirei mila. Even when it comes to machshirei mila, to the mitzvah of to the preparation for a bris mila, it's only mutter if the malacha would have been an issur midra rabbanan for the Jew to do. Ukemay shakasa bilchais v'chein das harambam b'perek beis bilchas mila v'huzal hit shvus to shvus. You're allowed to, you matter, shvus to shvus means two yisur midra rabbanan, one which is an isser to ask a non-Jew. The other one is it's only an isser, the malacha that we're discussing is only an isser midra rabbanan. In other words, he says it would be mutter for any mitzvah, as long as we're dealing with a double drabanan. In other words, the whole isser that's being violated over here is an isser midrabanan, and it's only an isser midrabanan for me to ask the non-Jew to do it. And that would be mutter in any case of mitzvah. But now he cites the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Of a Ramban sever de bechiyai gavna nami lo yishara ela b'mila b'lvad l'fish nitna shavet lidchais etzlav v'b'shav mitzvahs and deichem shvus klal." This is the opinion of the Ramban, which is pretty chomer. This is probably the most stringent opinion that we're going to see, is that you're only allowed to ask a non-Jew to violate an isser if the isser is only asamidra banan, and only in one specific case, the case of Mila. Why? Because we find throughout the Torah, I mean, Shabbos and Mila, whenever you have a contradiction of Shabbos and Mila, besides for some cases where there's a drasha, which says not like that, but ultimately we see that Shabbos is pushed away when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila. You're allowed to do a bris Mila on Shabbos. You have to do a bris Mila on Shabbos. So therefore, we already see that Shabbos, sometimes, we're doyecha Shabbos for a bris Mila. So again, according to the Ramban, you're only allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malach midra banan, and only for the sake of Mila. That is the opinion of the Ramban. And then in source 11, we have the Rambam, and he writes very clearly, Darvash eni malacha. Something which is not a malach midaraisa, ve'ein aser la'asaisa b'shabbos el mishum shvus. It's only aser to do this midra banan. Mutter li yisrael loymar l'goy la'asaisa b'shabbos. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it for you on Shabbos. For who? Sheyeh sham, or either miktsas chayli. Someone is, you know, he's a little bit sick. Exactly what the category of miktsas chayli is, we'll discuss another time. But again, this is less than the chayli we discussed earlier. He doesn't have the flu, he's not bedridden, he's just not feeling so well. So the Rambam writes, and this is really what I was getting at earlier, the Gemara says nothing about Mila. The Gemara says there was a child whose hot water spilled out. So therefore the Rambam understands, anytime you have a significant need, whether someone's not feeling so well, or there was any other need for it, or there's a mitzvah, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do any malacha, midrabanan. So just go a little bit now to the next page. I summarized it. We have in order of the way that we presented the opinions. The Bahag, he says the Gemara is talking about only a shvus, the lespe maisa, which is amir la'akum. So you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do even a malacha midai raisa for what? For mitzvahs mila. The Baal Itter says, you're allowed to ask a guy to do a malach midai raisa for any mitzvah. The Rif, he was matir, amira, by a malacha midra banan for tzarech mila. And then we have the Rambam, who says, a malach midra banan for any purpose, or I shouldn't say any purpose, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malach midra banan for any tzarech mitzvah, or any tzarech gadol, or mikzas chayli. And the Ramban, he says you're only allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an isser midrabanan specifically for Mitzvahs Milah. We'll get Emirat Hashem next week. We'll discuss exactly how we passing with this at greater length. We'll continue with source number 12. Have a wonderful week, and I'm glad we're able to catch up with each other. We will continue. We'll take off from here next week, Emirat Hashem. Have a wonderful day.